So as they're going to their seats, I know what you're thinking. Dan, you look a little bit different. You know, I'm slimming up, trying to watch the fried chicken, trying to eat salads, you know, rabbit food, but it's good. It may be the blonde tips, which I just decided to, you know, embrace. Overdrive made me get blonde hair, and I've decided, you know what, I'm throwing it back to the 90s, and I'm going to spike my hair up and look like blonde tips. Or it may be the dad shoes I've got on, because I found these Skechers with sole inserts at Shoe Carnival for $20. So I don't know what it is, you tell me, but I think I'm got some swagger right now. So if I can be honest, though, for several years, I have looked forward to this point in my life that I can share with you something that I have envied in other pastors for years, and that is stories of my kids that will convey biblical truths. Like, I'm serious. I'm not kidding. I have envied pastors, and I've had to repent of those sins because I look forward to having kids, which is just singular right now, maybe plural someday, but once you have one, if you're like me, you're like, I think I'm done. but I am excited to be able to share those stories, and so, I mean, I think I've arrived, and I'm already thinking about, since it's Senior Recognition Sunday, what picture should I use in 18 years that will give the best display of who Canyon was when she was younger, all right? And so can I go through those with you? Can you help me decide on those? Is that okay? If you did said no, I'd do it anyway. So we're going to go through them. This first one here, this is Little Miss Canyon Ray Etson. I was anticipating that. I just want to put that on there first. K-A-N-Y-O-N. This is her, like, inquisitive, like, I'm watching you, I'm watching everything, I know what's going on, I'm trying to figure it out. This next one here is what I wish would happen every morning. I wish it would be that nice little just sleepy, cute, waking up. Shout out to Morgan Gant Photography. All your photography needs, Morgan Gant. sorry, shameless plug. She didn't tell me to do that. I just did it on my own. This next one here, this is actually Daddy's girl right here because she's already got her headphones on and listening to hip-hop. Not really, that's at Overdrive, and we were like, it's too loud in here for you, we need some earphones. So we did that. Now this next one's a pretty close contender too of what we may put up for Senior Recognition Sunday. Go to that next one here. Oh yeah, you know the next one, go ahead. Yep, that right there. Because that's everyday life for us. I mean, and I'm confused at the mystery of how spit up can get in an ear, an orifice that I did not know that it could travel to. But I actually think this next one may be a good one too, because this is everyday real life. And so she was not having Easter Sunday pictures. She was ready for bites, and we just wanted some more pictures. And so, but if I can be honest with you, well, first, can I tell you a story about it real quick? This is real. I was going to do it on the spot. So one of my favorite Disney movies is Lion King. If maybe my favorite, but it's one of my favorite. And so whenever she was old enough to come into GSM and we said, you can't touch, but you can look. Look, but don't touch, don't touch. But don't touch. We were kind of in that mode. It was like, okay, so we're going to do this. So if you've been in the GSM room, the stage is up front. There's an outside door over there. And we borrow one of Grace Kidd's big, like, black pipe and drape kind of things. And so Andrew in the back played a song. This is Wednesday night. Andrew played the Lion King song, and it started playing. So I went over to the door. My wife was outside the door with Canyon, and Max was on this side of the pipe and drape. So they come in. I get Canyon. We walk, and Max is dragging the pipe and drape. And all of a sudden, on the big crescendo of the song, it's like, Ma Savinia Bababitua. And it was so awesome. I've looked forward to that day for the rest. I'll remember that day for the rest of my life because I delight in my baby girl. Like, I really do. Like, I love her. But if I'm honest, whenever Cameron and I had that sonogram and she said, well, it's a girl, I was disappointed. Like, if I'm honest with you, I was disappointed. Because if you know Cameron and I, Cameron's not like the bow and the pink, and like she's sporty. Like she watches college basketball and the NBA playoffs with me, and she watches football, and her favorite show on TV is College Game Day in the fall. And so like Saturday mornings, that's what we do. And so that's who we are. And so we were expecting, anticipating a boy, and we got a girl. And we were disappointed. But I'm going to tell you right now, yesterday, and I've done this a couple times, I've looked at my wife and said, babe, I don't know how I could have been disappointed that Canyon was not a boy. Like, I don't know how I could have felt that, because I wouldn't trade my little girl for any boy in the world. And believe you me, I lead a group of high school boys, and I wouldn't trade my girl for any one of them. I love you, but not that much. But I wonder, and I really think, that this is exactly how the Lord is with us, right? I mean, like, I delight in my baby girl. She brings me so much joy despite which baby she is. The cute, sleepy baby, the inquisitive, always watching baby, the baby with spit up in her ear, the so frustrating because you cry and fuss all day baby, like, whichever it is, it does not matter to me because I delight in her. And this is how it is with the Lord. No matter if we're on our best behavior or if we're stuck in sin, God takes delight in us and loves us more than we can imagine. And that love does not change based upon our behavior. And if you're like me, you frustrate God on a daily. Like, I guarantee you interview God tonight and you're like, hey, tell me how Dan was today. He frustrated me. Like, that's what God's going to tell you. But, oh, dear friend, he delights in you. And today's passage points us directly to this reality. And when we take hold of this truth that he delights in us, we can then take delight in his decrees as the writer echoes here. Now, watch what happens here. Look at verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The writer starts this stanza by telling us that God's word is able to be what illuminates the path for us. It brings light to the way we should go. Now, what this does not do is tell us what job to take, what college to go to, sorry about that, graduates, who we should marry, where we should live, what vacations to take, what we do on our vacation, and other sorts of everyday, daily living. But what it does do is this: that business deal, that opportunity to get ahead, the word does give us the way that we should think about how we get there. That marriage, that love has been lost, no. See, the word governs our thinking and says, fight harder to find your way back. Because after all, God fought hard when love was lost, and it wasn't that he lost any love, if you catch my drift. God delights in you. So what it does tell us is what kind of character we should have, and it shows the priorities that should govern our thinking. He continues in verse 106. Look at that. He says, I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. And so it shows us how to live a righteous life, and not merely in the sense that our intrinsically moral law or moral code does, but because everyone knows you don't cheat. Like, you're not supposed to steal, you're not supposed to kill, you're not supposed to lie. Like, we all know those things. It doesn't take the Bible to necessarily know that. But what the word does is it brings clarity to what sometimes, for a follower of Jesus, is a very gray world. It brings clarity to what oftentimes the culture holds up as good, as right, and as true. But the word continues to hold the standard and says, but this is how God designed it. See, the world has changed. Standards have changed. Relative truth has changed. But God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the word tells us. Verse 107, I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. See, the writer here is banking on the promise of God, which this promise of God has only been found due to the psalmist's consumption of the word. I remember when my mom would tell me the stories of when she was younger, and Papa, my grandpa, her father, would go to the library every Saturday morning and spend about 3 to 4 hours at the library. Now, he wasn't just reading all kinds of books. What he was doing is he was reading the newspaper, and he was reading about the stock market, and he was watching the stock market, and he was understanding where and how to invest his money. And because of what he put in, we were able to benefit from vacations, from retirement stuff, from a house. We were able to benefit as his family because of what he put in. And this guy was a brilliant dude. I'm not just saying it because he's my grandpa. He was in the Air Force, grew up in Brooklyn, New York, went Air Force. He went to Georgia Tech, Reckham Tech, Yellow Jackets. He then went and lived in Pasadena near Houston and was an engineer for Phillips for 30 years. Like, this dude was smart. But he knew, and if he invested his money here, it would take him here. And I guarantee you, if today someone came up to you and said, 100% guarantee, you put $1,000 into this right here, right now, within 5 years, you'll be a multimillionaire. Not one of us wouldn't scrounge the couches, try to find $1,000, because it's 100% guarantee we're going to be a multimillionaire in less than 5 years. But that's what the writer here is doing. He's banking on the promise of God. And it's only been found due to what he knows to be true of God. Verse 108, accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. The word illuminates the way of our worship. Now skip down to verse 112. The psalmist here says, I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Like, if we're going to step back and just listen to what this guy is writing and reading that, like, this dude is solid. I mean, this guy looks like he's got it together. He's determined. He's committed to the ways of the Lord. And how I so wish I could be of that same mind. But I'm not. Like, I'm just not there. Like, if anything, I resound more with a hip-hop artist named Andy Mineo in a song hit called Say Less. He says, I'm not doing good. I know you're thinking hip-hop, but just give me a second, okay? He says, I'm not doing good. I'm a straight mess, but God's doing way more with way less. Yeah, now we're off to the races. If anything, this is me. In my life, God has to do way more with way less. 5 loaves, 2 fish, feed 5,000. Like, that's me. And see, I think we can easily miss a little bit of the tension, a little bit of the rub in this passage due to what seems to be the writer's confidence in being determined to keep the laws of God. He says in verse 109, I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. Look at verse 111, and it's going to be in ESV up here, but I love how the NLT says it. It says, your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. God's laws are this guy's treasure, and God's laws are this guy's delight. Like, how has he gotten there? I mean, I'm all for, you know, being determined, white-knuckling, and try to live accordingly, but I just can't seem to stay true. And when we read this, you may be like, oh, yeah, sure, Dan, sounds good. Be determined. You know, make God's law my treasure. Make God's delight in his law. Like, stay the course. Stay committed. Stay determined to keep his statutes. Dan, but what about me? What about me, the anxiety-riddled person, the person who deals with mental health difficulty, who can't seem to shake this cloud that hovers above me every single day? I mean, you tell me not to worry, but worry is my middle name. What about me, Dan? What about me? The person who just can't seem to shake the shame and guilt for a past mistake that has now become a regret because we can't move past this emotion. Dan, I keep living in the past, and I don't want to, but I keep getting there. What about me? What about me, the person who's more successful in the world's eyes than many people due to your ability and my ability to be determined? But I can't quite seem to be determined enough to keep his laws. And for that, I feel like a failure. Or what better day than today? What about the parent who hears what the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6? Train your child up in the way that they should go. Even when they are old, they will not depart from it. Dan, my kid's a mess. Like, I don't think, I mean, you got a little 3-month-old. That's fun and cute, but my kid's a mess. And I don't know if they'll ever again have a relationship with the Lord. And I thought I did everything that I could. Verse 105, by his word being a lamp for your feet and a light for your path, God delights in you. Now watch this though. Go back to verse 109. Because what we read says, I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. See, some Greek manuscripts have it as this. My soul, my life, is constantly in your hand. In this verse, the NLT says, my life hangs in the balance. I mean, you think of somebody whose life is hanging in the balance. I mean, I think of a criminal who is in front of judge and jury. Like, their life and their freedom and what's for next for them hangs in the balance. It is no longer in their control. And so the writer here is telling us, hey, my life is God's. He says, my life is yours because I have no other option to give my life over to except for you. And if your life hangs in the balance, you do not control your life. Someone else does. And your life is dependent upon that person holding it. And if your life hangs in the balance in here today, brother or sister, I encourage you and I plead with you to run towards the cross of Christ. Because this is the only thing that we should be determined to do in our religion. Follow me, track with me here. Because when we sin, because it will happen, we have to be determined to fall at the foot of the cross. Not lean in a little bit more. Not just push through. Well, you need to pursue the Lord. Not, hey, just get pressed in. Get plugged in. No. Fall at the foot of the cross. Because for so many of us, our determination to not fall into temptation has not gotten past that said temptation. And so we tend to run away from the cross when we need to be running toward the cross. And if we truly understood who we're fighting when we face temptation, we'd run all the more quickly there. Remember verse 105? His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Watch what Ephesians 6:12 said, who we really fight against. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I don't care who you are. This battle is not one that you will win. Period. End of discussion. But the battle, according to his word, has already been won, period, end of discussion. And so how do we get to be like the psalmist here and delight in his laws? Like, how do we get there? First, we have to see that he delights in us, despite us. And because of this truth, no matter if there's spit up in your ear, no matter if you're screaming your head off or you're the cute little wake-up sleeping baby, we can know that he delights in us. And somebody in here needs to hear that he delights in you. See, 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And he finishes up and says, and that is what you are. So know today that no matter what affliction, whether it is brought on to you by your own doing or brought on to you by some external person or thing, we can step into the grace of God, run toward and fall at the cross of Christ. And rest knowing that our determination to keep his laws starts there. And I want you to hear this. It starts not with obeying, but knowing him. And as we know him, guess what we will naturally begin to do? Obey him. And so may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. And may your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.